I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need!
I don't want to talk to you no more, you...
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean!
All right, let's go.
Welcome into the Sleeper Wire Great Debate Show, everybody, where we do a quick debate-style argument between two players. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me is special guest Memphis, co-host of the Dynasty Warzone podcast. You can find him on Twitter at DWZMemphis. Memphis, how's it going, man? Welcome to the Great Debate.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, and everything's going well, except for my week 9 of fantasy football, but I did win in the Sleeper Wire Pro-Am, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
What's your record in there?
4-5 now. I'm scuffling. I fought some injuries, as we all have, this brutal season of 2020, but I'm not done yet. I'm scuffling. I mean, I think when you have the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams stack, nothing is impossible.
See, I had a team that I thought was going to be so good, but then, you know, everybody thinks that after the draft, but injuries and just players not living up to the expectation, I'm going to be 3-6 after this week. So not representing this year.
It's a grind, man. It's a 100% grind, and that's why we play.
I got stomped by Justin Boone this week, who traded for Pat Mahomes 3 days before the matchup. So,
well, we were joking, but before we hit the record button, and in one of my leagues, my oldest and probably favorite league, I lost not the first of the garbage time checkdowns, but the second of the garbage time checkdowns in Sunday night's whopper to Leonard Fournette. Like literally, the last offensive play of the game cost me a matchup. So, it's been that kind of a season.
That's fun. All right, guys, well, we're going to go ahead and jump into the show here. Here's how it goes. We each have a player that we are arguing for. We get 2 minutes to argue for our player, 90 seconds for a rebuttal against the other guy's player, and then we finish it up with final thoughts, and that's the show. And this week, we have two rookie wide receivers. Once again, I think this is the first season we've ever done two rookie wide receivers in the same season. KJ Hamler versus Michael Pittman. Now, I know these guys aren't going to be the pickups of the week, and we'll talk about, you know, who those guys most likely are, but two guys who you might want to consider putting in those waiver claims to get on your team for the bye weeks or the stretches. And so I've got Hamler and Memphis, you have Pittman. And I got to say, I think we both kind of wanted Pittman secretly because we are both Colts fans, but you know, we can argue for either guy. I'm going to kick it off with KJ Hamler though, to start. So KJ Hamler, the 5'8" speedster, is yet another blazing fast guy in our great debates for this season. It seems like every week we're talking about another super fast, speedy wide receiver, and this week is no exception on either side of the ball, actually. KJ Hamler, he didn't run at the NFL Combine, but he did have a reported, and I say reported as in like he reported, his coaches kind of confirmed it, a 4.27 40-yard dash when he was prepping for the Combine. Only 5 players in NFL history have had a faster time. And if you watch this guy on the field, he absolutely shows it. Like I said, he's 5'8", so he's not huge. In fact, he's pretty small. He's 8 inches shorter than Michael Pittman. But what he lacks in height, he makes up for in speed, shiftiness, and good hands. He came right out in 2021 with 7 targets in his first game, followed that up with 5 targets in week 2, and then this week had 10 targets from Drew Lock in a shootout in Atlanta, and he turned those 10 targets into 6 catches for 75 yards. Hamler has established himself as the number 2 on the Broncos already, behind fellow rookie Jerry Jeudy, who gets a bunch of targets each game, but for some reason not very many catches. Maybe just Drew Lock isn't that accurate. But Lock isn't that great, but he does throw the ball frequently, and they have to. Melvin Gordon, one of my favorite fantasy players, has been disappointing all season. Philip Lindsay's been banged up. Royce Freeman is just not good. Last year at Penn State, KJ finished 9th in the Big Ten in receptions and 6th in touchdowns. He's a guy who has a nose for the end zone due to his speed and his elusiveness. He's only hit pay dirt once so far, but you're going to look for that to increase. Now, I did say that it was a shootout in Atlanta. Teams don't get into shootouts very often. However, let's look at the upcoming matchups for the Broncos. Week 10 is against the Raiders. Week 11 is against the Dolphins, and week 12 is against the Saints. The Raiders and Dolphins are both in the bottom half of the league when it comes to passing yards given up. The Saints are tied for third most receiving touchdowns given up. And I think that's my time. Let's move over to you, Memphis. Give me that rebuttal against KJ Hamler. What do you got for me?
My number one rebuttal is Drew Lock is currently a 60% completion rate passer. And outside of the fourth quarter of the last two games, he's been absolutely dreadful. To the point to where I've heard respected non-fantasy but like GMs of the Mike Lombardi of the GM Shuffle talking about, is he the future of the Denver Broncos? But just some Denver offensive stats. They're the fifth worst team in the NFL in points per game. 21.6 points per game right now. They're the seventh worst in total yards. They're the seventh worst in offensive yards per play. Yards per play being one of the key numbers that Vegas looks at when setting lines. And just so, and then another big Vegas stat is QBR for quarterbacks. Drew Lock has a 39.4 QBR.
That's it.
That's the third worst in the league, only behind Sam Darnold and Dwayne Haskins. Those are the only two guys worse. So that is my fear. I like the talent, and I think he'll be a nice best ball play maybe next year, but the rest of this year, he makes me awful nervous. So that would be my rebuttal against Mr. KJ Hamler.
Let's move over to Michael Pittman. Memphis, take it away here.
All right, Michael Pittman Jr. coming back off of a calf injury. It was called a calf capsule injury, which is extremely odd. But he comes back, and in his very first game, he plays an 87% snap share. Hey, that's not too shabby at all. He played 59 of 68 snaps. He set a season high with 7 targets against the 11th best pass defense in the league as it relates to fantasy points. Converted 4 for 56 yards. And his schedule over basically the rest of the year except for the fantasy Super Bowl, which is week 16. If you're not playing week 16, you're not playing it right. But he's got the 30th ranked Titans, then the 13th ranked Packers, the 30th ranked Titans, the 24th ranked Texans, the 25th ranked Raiders, the 24th ranked Texans again. And every one of those games, except for this coming Thursday night's game at Tennessee, is in a dome. No weather, no snow, no rain, no wind, good conditions. And Indianapolis's offense is averaging 258 yards passing per game. And they're the 11th most pass attempts in the league right now. So I see some games where they're going to have to shoot it out, especially that Green Bay game and probably the Texans games. And for those reasons, I like Pittman.
Still got about 40 seconds if you want to.
Oh, I was hustling. So of all of those teams that I mentioned that he has to play on the horizon, all of them are in the bottom half of the league as it relates to YPP, yards per play to their opponent. So he's looking at 5.7 yards per play against those defenses. And then 4 of the 6 are top 9, giving up 6 or more yards per play. Coming up, you add in the fact that T.Y. Hilton is hurt and the need to have to score. I really like Michael Pittman. Is yet to find pay dirt, but I like the volume. I like the offense. And believe it or not, Phil Rivers is one of the top quarterbacks in completions, and I don't know how.
So I got to say, getting into my rebuttal here, I was a little bummed when you said you wanted Michael Pittman for this debate. But, you know, I let the guests choose, you know, and you're the guest. And thank you for that. So we're actually both Colts fans, and it's fun to argue for your home team. As a Colts fan, I do love Pittman. I love his future, and he is the future at the wide receiver position for the Colts. I think he's going to be dominant, but I don't think he's necessarily the right now guy for the Colts. That seems to be Zach Pascal, Mo Alie-Cox, and Trey Burton. We know Rivers loves throwing to his running backs and his tight ends and has for his entire career. That is no different this season. Pittman, he's only averaging 4.3 yards after the catch, 0 broken tackles on the season. He's not really making guys miss right now. I think that'll come, but it hasn't come around yet. He's been banged up this season. Like you said, in week 3, he had that calf injury and had to have surgery to correct the issue after that week 3 win. It's amazing that he's come back so strong, but I do think the Colts still have to be a little careful with him.
I would agree, and I could see that going – Many different ways depending on how this team goes. Again, there are some good matchups on the schedule, but there may not be a lot of W's left. And he is definitely a big part of their future. So why would you risk it?
Yep. Let's move into final thoughts here. I'm going to take it back to KJ Hamler. As I was saying about the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Saints, all three of those teams have the ability to put up points. And we saw the Raiders, they dropped 31 on the Chargers this week. The Dolphins beat the Cardinals with 34 points, and the Saints beat the Bucs with 38 points. Facing good opposing offenses that have mediocre passing defenses bodes well for wide receivers, especially in garbage time, especially when you're the Broncos, who are a pretty bad offense and not a great defense. They're going to get down. They're going to have to throw the ball. That's great for the wide receivers. This week, there's going to be a lot of players taken off waivers. Curtis Samuel likely going to be the number one guy. Everybody's going to put in a claim for him after two great weeks. Richie Adams, probably number two. Olamide Zaccheaus, Cam Sims. KJ Hamler isn't going to be everyone's number one focus for waivers. So I think you're going to be able to get him at a steal. You're going to be able to get him at a $0 bid. Bye weeks are hitting hard right now, and at 2% rostered, I think it's worth taking a flyer on this guy.
I would agree. My only counterpoint would be, as much like you mentioned with Pittman, I have to assume that he's the third option with a healthy Noah Fant, if Noah Fant is ever healthy. So it would be Jerry, Judy, Noah Fant, and then KJ Hamler. Very similar to what you said with, you know, Burton and Pascal, and maybe Marcus Johnson, and then Pittman. Both of these guys are upside plays, and I will end mine on this. These are the kind of plays that in your head-to-head matchup, if you're a big underdog, these are the kind of guys you play. You can't play the guy who might get you 2 points. You can't risk it. Now, if you're a favorite, it's a different story. But if you're an underdog, having a guy like KJ Hamler with 4.3, I'm going to call it 4.3 speed, because if you can really run a 4.2, you'll show someone. But I'm going to say, if you have a guy with 4.3 speed and what's probably going to be shootouts, and you're an underdog in your head-to-head matchup, that's the kind of neutralizer you can put in there to give yourself a shot.
I will say I did. So we're in a dynasty league together, the Dynasty Podologists on the Sleeper app. And I almost played him this week. I believe I have him in that league. Yeah, I almost played him. I put Tim Patrick in over KJ Hamler, who Patrick's getting touchdowns. He gets one every week, it seems.
And that makes me very excited for the future as a dynasty guy of Cortland Sutton, because that's basically the role Patrick's playing right now, is the role that Sutton would be playing, but obviously he's out with the ACL. This is an offense that I could see really being good next year. And I believe it or not, I like their offensive coordinator. I like Pat Shurmur quite a bit. He's a very good OC, if he's not the best head coach in the world, whatever, but he does a good thing for offenses around the league.
Imagine if they get a good quarterback.
Man, that's cold-blooded, but you know, so I will give your viewers and guests a little sneak preview. So on tomorrow night, which will be live on YouTube as well and on Twitter, we are going to be joined by Shane P. Hallam of Fake Pigskin and the Devy Marketplace, and we're going to talk about some quarterbacks for Dynasty that are on the hot seat. Drew Locke's name is one of the names on the hot seat. Now, how hot? You'll have to tune in tomorrow night or Wednesday on the podcast over at the Dynasty Warzone, but we're going to talk about it.
Keeping the suspense. I like it. Well, guys, that is going to wrap it up for this week's great debate. Memphis, thank you so much for joining me, man. This was fun.
Oh, I wish we had done it sooner. And look for me to catch that steam. I'm gonna put this Pro-Am team in the microwave and get some heat on it and make a run. I took down Matthew Betts this week. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, big Raider fan.
Yeah.
So we'll have to maybe. I know he's also a craft beer guy. Maybe I'll have to wager him a 6-pack when the Colts play the Raiders. Here coming down the stretch.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, follow you, and support you?
Well, again, first of all, thank you for having me on. At DWZ Memphis, or you can follow the show on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter at Dynasty Warzone. And if you don't go to social media and you have a question, maybe I can help you. You can just email dynastywarzone@gmail.com.
And you can follow Sleeperwire on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. I'm on there at prof_ChrisSW. And you can hit me up on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. Memphis, thanks again, man. This was fun. Everybody else, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.